1894 by people the name of Mitchell and Clough. Al Long, who was editor for 29 years before I succeeded him in 1923, was the father of Judge Donald E. Long of Portland, who was the home in Portland is named for him, Judge Donald E. Long Home, and that is for domestic relations and juveniles and so on. My mother joined the Argus in April 1904 and continued active on the paper until after she was 91 years old. And she was more enthusiastic about Hillsborough and Washington County, I would say, than any two businessmen half her age. And she backed it up with her work and with her with helping financially. No history of the Argus would be complete without my telling you something about my mother. That page up there ran in the Argus right after her death in 1965. I better go back a ways because instead of 1894 under our present merged status, we are 101 years old. The Independent was established in 1873, and we bought the Independent and merged it with the Argus in 1932. So now to get back to my mother's connection, which is something that you will probably be very much interested in, because her parents wanted her to go to Pacific University when she was 17 years old, and she didn't want to go because she was concerned that she would be homesick. Have you ever been homesick? Well, at that time, to go to Pacific University with the conditions of the roads and so forth, she couldn't go back and forth every day as students from here going to Pacific now do. And so she would have to wait until the weekend and only be able to spend the weekend at home. And when she was 17 years old in 1888, Dr. Linklater, the pioneer physician here, came to the house to make a call on her mother, and at that time she asked him if she might have a job on the old Hillsborough Independent so that she could learn the printing trade, and he gave it to her. And she worked the first 6 months for free, learning to set type. You don't do that sort of thing anymore. I mean, work for free. Her first paycheck was $2.50 a week, and that went on for some little time. She was married in 1896 to my father, and their marriage was ended when he died in 1900. I wasn't quite 2 years old when he died. The Argus in those earlier years that I remember working, folding papers and jogging papers and feeding an old ho-drum cylinder press, was in a frame building right across from the present entrance to the courthouse. It was there until 1917, when my mother and Mr. Long, with whom she was associated as partners, moved the paper to 250 East Main Street, which is now where Duane's Shoes is located. And in 1955, we moved over here and have been here since. We're getting quite crowded in this building here. I don't know how much longer we'll be able to stay here. However, with later developments in equipment, it's possible to condense your operations, the mechanical operations. The first linotype typesetting machine was purchased in 1917 also. In 1917, the spring of 1917, there were 25 of us kids from Hillsboro left to go into the service. And it was my experience of having a job working as a kid on the Argus that got me not at that time appreciated transfer, but I was transferred out of the infantry and spent 18 months in Paris with a government printing plant. On my return here in July 1919, I worked for a time on the first paved highway between here and Portland. And there was nothing hardly between here and Portland at that time. It was all open farmland. Beaverton had a population of around 500. Hillsboro was more than four times as large as Beaverton. And in the fall, I started in at Oregon State and finished my work in 1923. During the summers, I worked on the Argus, too, when I was going to school. And then came back here joined my mother in the publication of the Argus, and we remained partners until her death in 1965. I'll give you some information relative to all the numerous awards, national and state, which the Argus has received through the years, of which we're quite proud. The Argus has has won more national awards than any other community newspaper on the West Coast. You can take this along. Here's something else you can have. This shows a picture of the front page, March 28, 1894, volume 1, number 1. We have that framed out there, which is a very treasured part of our Argus decorations. You probably noticed when you're out in front quite a few of the awards that the Argus has received through the years. This also shows an old picture taken in a building across from the courthouse, and my mother and her niece are shown at the type cases setting type by hand. We merged merged the Independent with the Argus in 1932 with the full support and backing of the business people of Hillsboro, because it's more important to the community to have a good strong newspaper than it is two newspapers fighting each other, because in that way they can have much more circulation and have their advertising published at less cost than they would be divided between two newspapers. Yeah. My mother has received numerous honors during her career on the newspaper. And in 1958, the Emmy Award was initiated in her honor by the Press Women of Oregon for the outstanding woman in newspapering in the state. And in 1954, she was recognized as the Dean of Oregon Newspapers. She is the only woman and the second non-daily newspaper person in Oregon to receive the coveted Amos E. Voorhees Award for outstanding service in journalism. She was honorary president of the Oregon Press Women and honorary member of Theta Sigma Phi. I received this Voorhees Award in 1949. In recalling the saying, necessity is the mother of invention, Mrs. Mack, as she is affectionately known to her fellow workers at the Argus, adds that it can also be the mother of a woman's career. Although she didn't have a college education, she derived her education from newspaper work, and she became our authority on spelling and grammar. And she just wouldn't stand for any misspelled words or wrong use of grammar. And sorry to say that there's too much neglect of spelling and that sort of thing, I think, in schools today. In 1904, she bought a half interest in the Argus and was in partnership with Al Long until 1927, when Al sold to Mr. Guile, but he wasn't of the quality of Mr. Long, so she bought the half interest, Mr. Guile's half interest, returned Long as editor. So they were in partnership until 1923. When the Argus turned to mechanical typesetting, Mrs. Mack learned and operated the Linotype and did some news gathering and writing. She continued in that capacity until 1924, when she took charge of locals as the small items in the paper to see. And club, society, and proofreading. Mrs. Mack was the first Oregon woman to become a member of the National Press Women's Club. When the state organization was formed, she was named honorary president. She was named first woman citizen in Hillsborough in 1949. And the Argus has established an award, an achievement award, which is given annually here in Hillsborough, the Emma C. McKinney Woman of Achievement Award, which is given in her name. And a number of women who have contributed mightily to activities here in Hillsborough have been so honored. We've also established an Emma C. McKinney National Memorial Award, which is given annually to some woman judged most outstanding in the non-metropolitan newspaper field. When I started on the Argus in 1923, there were three of us, my mother and another printer. Mother operated the Linotype, and I did all the news writing, selling of advertising, bookkeeping, and so on. I remember on one occasion I went over to on Thursday morning. Paper went to press on when it was published once a week at that time on Thursday. So I went over to the coroner's office and got a story on a woman who allegedly shot herself the night before. And I understood him to say that the husband saw her take the gun. And that's the way it appeared in the paper. And the next morning I was sitting at the desk and the assistant postmaster was sitting across from me waiting to collect the week's postage bill. And a man came down the street wild-eyed and came in and grabbed hold of the assistant postmaster and said, "Are you the editor?" And he says, "No, he's right over there." And he made a lunge for me, and I sidestepped and went, called into the back for reinforcements and so forth. And it took two men to keep him under control for some time. And I talked to the doctor that night, and who had treated him after he left there. And he said that I was quite fortunate, because if he'd had a gun, he'd have shot me for sure. Having been born November 6th, 1871. I am also a native of Hillsborough, and so are my sons and granddaughters. We have three generations active on the newspaper now. My two sons and a granddaughter who is a receptionist. And there were three generations while my mother was still alive. My mother, myself, and the two sons. I guess with the exception of your grandfather, I've been in business longer in Hillsborough than any other person. I have some pictures here that I think your grandmother is in. Some that I will turn over to you. School pictures. The paper was changed from weekly to semi-weekly in 1953, so as to give more timely service to the people, and it's worked out very. It spreads the news load and makes it easier to read. And I hope it's been of greater service to the people of Hillsborough, and I'm sure it has. Let's see, which one first here? Okay.
Okay, how did the paper all start? When did it start, and then how did you start the artist?
I didn't start it. My mother didn't either. It was Mitchell and Clo who started it, and there'll be some of the history of this will be in here, and this is a picture of the front page. It was a tabloid-sized paper at that time, and there was advertising on the front page, just little items, there were no headlines and so forth. But that answer your question?
Yeah. You mean, why did they start a newspaper?
Yeah, why?
I think he wants to know why they decided to start a newspaper. That would be the Independent for me.
All newspapers are started to keep people informed. It's important for people to keep informed on what's going on around them and so forth. Yes, sir.
How did people feel about the newspaper after it started to come out?
Well, we led in circulation almost from the very start, so I guess they were, most people were pretty well pleased with it. All right?
When you first started, in the newspaper, how did you deliver the newspaper? I mean, did people come and buy it, or did you have paper placed?
It was sent out by mail. This copy right here had to be sent into the post office with a request for a second-class mailing permit. which is, in that way, newspapers are sent at a reduced rate because of the importance of keeping people informed in governmental affairs and so forth. Now, you had a question here before. I'm going to ask that you.
How much did it cost?
I don't know. But it was a lot less. Oh, you mean per copy? Well, they probably sold for 5 cents a copy, and I know for many years the cost was $1.50 a year, and the increase of newspapers has been much less than practically any other commodity that you might want. The costs have gone up tremendously. Newsprint has increased 65% within the last year and a half. Another thing I might say in regard to the history, we changed to offset printing, which gives you a brighter reproduction and much better pictures than the old methods of hot type set by Linotypes and so forth. And our plant, which is owned by three different publications, the McKinney's, and McGilver and Hawkins of the Times papers, and the Bledin family of the McMinnville News Register own this plant, and it's right across the street over here. And we 32 pages, and all the plate work and press work and the mailing operations are conducted over there. I'm going to let you.
How's the press run?
Well, at one time, it was printed by an old Washington hand press with one page up, and you grabbed a handle and you had papers under there, put a sheet on the type, and you pulled that handle. And we used that for some time as a proof press after I started in, and then I became so overwhelmed with patriotism in War II that when they called for, well, first let me say that I had in mind that someday if the Argus built that we'd have a historical room and we'd keep this old handset press in there. And becoming so overwhelmed with patriotism, I let that go for scrap metal, along with a prized German helmet that I picked up on the battlefield of Chateaufury in France. Let's see, what was the question I got into that?
Oh, he wanted to know how you printed it. He really printed them one at a time.
Yeah.
A newspaper at a time.
Wow.
By hand.
Go ahead.
Oh, here, we have a couple over here.
At what age did you start working with the paper?
Well, I'm about 8 years old or something like that. In fact, my mother used to, they'd do a lot of night work, and she'd take me down there, and well, I suppose I was much, well, I couldn't have been over 6 years old, if six, even six, and she'd take me down at night, and there was an old couch in the room, and when I'd get tired, why, she'd have me lie down on this couch, and I'd go to sleep to the tunes of this old whole drum cylinder press, which I later used to run, which got me this transfer from the infantry to the quartermaster corps in Paris. So I was working around there folding papers and keeping papers straight as they went off, came off the paper. And you had to keep them straight because after you ran two pages through, you had to take this up and put it on again and on the other side, and print the other side. Now, do you have a question here?
Did the employees go up or down or stay the same in during the World Wars?
In the World War? Well, we've been increasing employment all the time. We're up
during
to
the World Wars. Did they go down or?
No, it. I think that we probably increased a little bit in employment. That's in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now up to approximately 60 employed here now, with about 15 or so employed over at the Clayton Press Plant across the street. Now, who's next?
People at first started. How did they pay for the thing? Did they get a grant from a bank or?
How did the Argus start? Well, with their own money. They didn't have to have Well, of course, any amount of money then was a whole lot more precious than it is now. But most people got going on their own without having to borrow.
Did they have a bank in Hillsville?
Yes. I think that the Chute Bank had been started by that time. Yeah. Oh, there's one interesting thing I wanted to tell you. Well, you go ahead with your question there.
About how big was the paper then compared to what it is now?
The paper itself, the size.
Well, it's about the same size, the page size is about the same as it is now. The number of pages, when I came on, my first issue was a 6-page paper. But that was the last one. That was always 8 and more from that time on. Okay, yeah.
Okay, like right now, do you get more money like from supermarkets instead of advertising stuff, or do you not do that? Do you get a lot of money from paying?
Well, if we didn't have advertising, we wouldn't be able to operate, because that the amount of money that you get from the circulation income from selling the newspapers to subscribers and so forth, doesn't any more than pay for the cost of the paper that goes into it. None of the work.
Okay. What was Hillsborough like when they started?
There were no paved streets, no sewers. For instance, if you were walking along during the winter, a lot of rain on the water underneath the planks. Well, originally, there weren't even any plank streets. But when you were walking along on the sidewalks, if a wagon had come along, the water would squish all over you.
There wasn't any cars either.
And then later on, along about 1912, the electric train started coming out here, and electric passenger trains. I remember when the Oregon Electric and the Southern Pacific electric trains were built, and I also remember when the Southern Pacific steam train line was built to Tillamook, and travel by passenger cars and so forth was very, very interesting and enjoyable, and a lot of people participated in.
What did the press look like?
The press? Sometime maybe I can get you over there. Would you like to have maybe sometime I have someone take them through the plant and over there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be glad to do that.
Okay.
Now, there's one thing that I remembered here I wanted to tell you. This is the second year that I was in as editor. A woman, the Grand Army of the Republic. You know what the Grand Army of the Republic is? They were the veterans of the Union veterans of the Civil War. And they were very, very active, and they were having their encampment here in Hillsborough. That included the Women's Relief Corps and the Sons of the Union Veterans and Daughters of the Union Veterans. So one of the women who was active in arranging for the convention came in and asked if we wouldn't be interested in running the names and the army unit to which these veterans belonged during the war. Said, you'll sell a lot of papers. So we finally decided it might be a good idea, a good historical move. So she brought him in late, about noon on Wednesday, and we had to get the paper out on the next day. And we spent the whole night, Mother and I spent the whole night working on that thing. Went home about 6 o'clock in the morning and back at 8 o'clock. And this thing had put us so far behind that the Southern Pacific Station was right across the street from our office, right next to her grandfather's theater. So at last the train going out, taking the veterans away, left at 4:30 in the afternoon, and we didn't get the paper out in time to sell the papers to them.
No.
Yeah.
When you first became editor, how many subscribers did you have?
There were approximately 2,000.
How many is there now?
12,500. What?
How big was your growing
paper? A little over 2,000. And another thing that's rather amusing. I was president of the Chamber of Commerce in 1929 and 30 when they were taking the census. So the census takers would come in and